So we started a series last week, just called it Do You Hear What I Hear? And we're playing off that song a little bit, but the idea of it is that we're seeking out ways that God speaks to us. Do you hear what I'm hearing too? Like, are you confirming that same thing that I'm hearing, that God's speaking to me? Do you hear it too? And so we're looking through all the stories that God interrupted life for people in that Advent story, preparing for Jesus' birth, where he sent angels to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. Elizabeth didn't get to see the angel. To Mary, that's where we're talking about today. You guys heard the story today. And the next week, Joseph. And the week after that, the shepherds, which leads us right into the Christmas Eve story as well, where we talk about the birth of Jesus. But so what we're trying to do is come up with a list of things where we can kind of see for ourselves, using those stories, how God speaks to us, so we can know if it really is God talking to us in those moments. Is it God really saying these things to us, or is it just me, or is it something else, or whatever? Well, last week, if you weren't here, just to recap pretty briefly, an angel comes to Zechariah, and then by extension his wife Elizabeth, and they were advanced in years, is the way the Bible puts it, which means what? They're old. Yeah, they're old, and they hadn't had a baby, which for them in that culture, that was a shame for them. They didn't have anybody that would take care of them when they were old, and so they were kind of on the outsides of society. And an angel comes to Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest, and he's about his business in the temple. An angel comes in, interrupts everything, and says, "You're going to have a baby." And he's like, "Well, how's that even possible? I'm old, and so is my wife." And then the angel's basically like, "Well, since you don't believe me, then I'm closing your mouth until the baby's born." So he couldn't speak for at least like 9 months, or probably a little longer, because he don't just, you know, and she wasn't just automatically pregnant. So it's just like it took some time. It was at least 9 months, maybe up to a year, that he couldn't speak. And the two points that we grab from that story is that when God speaks to us, one, it's an interruption of life. Life is interrupted. Life as we know it is not going to be the same when God speaks to us. So it's an interruption. And then secondly, when God speaks to us, it will push you towards faith, not away from it. All right? Life is probably not going to get easier when God speaks to you. It's probably going to get harder. God's going to give you something probably more than you can handle, but not more than he can handle, because he wants you to have faith in him. So that boy that Zechariah and Elizabeth had, because they all came true, that boy is actually going to come into our story a little bit today. Reading later on in the Gospels, we find out that the boy becomes John the Baptist, which is Jesus' cousin. So we're gonna hear about this little boy again, just very briefly at the end of this story. So today's story has some similarities to last week. In fact, all of them do, that we'll cover for the next couple weeks. But there's this, it's an interruption. We heard about it already. It was read for us. The angel comes in and talks to Mary. Anytime an angel comes into your life, it's going to be an interruption. I only know of a couple of people that that's happened to. It's not very often. It isn't always an interruption. And then this, it's going to take faith for Mary to receive the message that God has for her from the angel. So all of the stories are having that similar thing. It's an interruption, and it takes faith. But there's some differences as well. We'll uncover those. But I read this quote this week that I thought was interesting, especially along the lines of, do you hear what I hear? Is God speaking to you? And I read this quote, and it said this, we don't hear from God because we don't expect to hear from God. We don't hear from God because we don't expect to hear from God. And I would suggest to you that that's a bunch of baloney in scientific terms or theological terms, baloney. I call BS. Isn't that what like the game? Remember the game? It's bologna sandwich. That's what it stands for. Do you think that Mary was expecting an angel. Was she expecting that to happen? Do you think Zechariah went into the temple expecting an angel to come in and interrupt his life? Do you think Joseph was expecting that an angel was going to come in and talk to him about having a baby? All right, you're getting the answers correct so far. Do you think the shepherds who were just out in the fields minding their own business, watching their flocks by night, expected God to speak to them in that moment? No. That's why every one of them, the angel says, do not be afraid. They're frightened because they were not expecting that. It's frightening when God speaks. It's unexpected, and yet God interrupts life. I think sometimes when we're sitting there expecting things, expecting breeds complacency. Possibly. All right, we'll dive down this road. I think we should expect, but bear with me for a second. If we're sitting around expecting God to say something to us and we're waiting before we go do anything because we gotta wait until we hear from God, then perhaps we'll sit around waiting for a very long time and not doing anything. I'm all for prayerful movement. But sometimes, if signs point to no, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, this does not make sense. All right. If your signs point to no, then don't go. All right? Then don't go. But if you're also sitting around and everything seems to be going okay, we can't just sit around for an angel to come and say yes. We've got to move. We've got to go forward. So we keep expecting things to happen, and then nothing happens. We become complacent with where we are rather than pining for where we could be or where we should be. When our kids were little, perhaps you've seen this amongst your children. I think this is a fairly common trait. When our kids were little and we would have company over, say the grandparents would come over, whatever, we would know when the appointed time was to come that they were to be there. But 2 to 3 hours prior to the appointed time, the children would start looking out the window, waiting and expecting for someone to drive up the driveway, hoping, 2 or 3 hours sitting on that couch just looking out that window. Are they here yet? Are they coming? Are they coming? And then suddenly we look over and they're asleep on the couch. Because they're no longer expecting, they've become complacent with where they are, and now they're no longer ready for when they finally arrive. Don't become complacent in your expectation for waiting too long. But by the same token, we shouldn't be deaf to when God does speak. Last summer I showed a clip in here. I love this clip from Bruce Almighty. Remember that movie, Bruce Almighty? He's just saying, I just want a sign from God. And he's like driving down the road. There's all these signs that say, stop, you know, like, don't go. Like, all these things, like obvious signs that he's completely oblivious to. I just need a sign. And the signs are all there, and he ignores them all. So there's this balance. We should expect God to speak, but not allow ourselves to be complacent, not moving until we receive some sort of kick in the teeth from an angel. On the other hand, if we move on without God, that is dangerous too. So I think there needs to be patient, prayerful preparation. And I learned, that's not a phrase I just made up. Patient, prayerful preparation prevents poor performance. I learned that in high school. So, because I went to Christian high school and they're like, you need to pray before you take the test, you know. And you gotta study too. So patient, prayerful preparation is what we need in these moments. So let's look at the story of Mary a little bit closer. So again, we're finding little nuggets of how we can know when God speaks to us. And here's the first one out of this story. When God speaks, you are or will be blessed. When God speaks, you are blessed. If God is speaking to you, you're already blessed, but you definitely also will be blessed. Here's what it says. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So we're probably pretty familiar with this story. Even the people who weren't raised in the church, it's kind of a culturally accepted story that, you know, there's the Christian thing that Mary was a virgin. She had a baby named Jesus. Well, so this angel comes. We have a young woman, Mary. She's betrothed to a young man. Well, we assume he was young. Being betrothed in that culture in that time was different than our engagement. Wouldn't we call that a similar thing? But it was different in those days. They weren't married yet, but their engagement was the legal binding agreement. Their betrothal meant that if they decided not to get married, they would actually have to get a divorce and have legal papers drawn up or however they did it in order to separate. So this betrothal was an extended period of time where all the agreements had been made, all the agreements had been reached by the men that were important at the time, usually the two dads of the bride and the groom. It was always the men. And then after the agreements were made, then the arrangements could be made, which included building a house for the new bride to join the husband's family. Okay, so it could take a long time to build it onto a room or a house or whatever it would be. So then also after that was ready, then they could have the ceremony. All right, so it's a different process than what we have now. The key is that because Luke makes this distinction in this short passage that Mary was a virgin. She wasn't married yet. They haven't done the thing, you know, and it becomes important here in a minute. All right, verse 28. Gabriel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And now, there are some translations that say it this way, "Greetings, O favored one, you are highly blessed among women." Now, so you've already heard the story read. No spoiler alert here. The news that Gabriel's delivering is, Mary, you're going to bear the Son of God. You'll name him Jesus, and you're going to have the Messiah. Now, for thousands of years, the Hebrew people have been waiting, expecting the Messiah to come. Generations of families have hoped, prayed, longed for the fact that their daughter would be the blessed one among women to carry the Christ child. And none of that had happened yet. None of it has happened since. Mary was the one who was chosen. She was the favored one, the blessed one of women. So for the angel to greet Mary with these words, this greeting, was curious. You are favored. You're blessed among women. She would be curious about this. Like, why are you coming to me, first of all? Why would you say those words, second of all? And so when God speaks, it's a blessing. It's not a curse. God will not speak words that are not good news. It's always blessing. Even when the words that God says are words that maybe you don't want to hear. They might be tough words to hear, but they could be good words in the long run. Words of correction. When you hear in your heart, you need to repent for this thing. You need to turn away from these certain patterns of behavior, these sins. God will speak those words to us, not to give us guilt, but to give us good news that there is redemption. It's a blessing because it shows us that God cares. God cares, and if God didn't care, he wouldn't correct you. If God didn't care, he just let you carry on the way you have been going. Satan would like for you to carry on. He would not correct you from that. God corrects. That's the other thing. God continues to shape us in the image of his Son. He's going to push us in certain directions so that we lean on him and we have faith in him. And then thirdly, God comforts. God comforts us when we've had that kick in the teeth, you know, the kick in the pants to say, "Hey, Dave, turn it around, buddy." And then I feel bad because I'm a despicable human being. And he's like, "No, you're not. I love you anyway. I love you despite all those things." So even what looks like bad news is actually still good news. We just have to see it through to its fullness, to its completion. So in this case, God is speaking a great blessing on Mary. She's going to bear the child of God. Wow. What great news is that? No other person had heard that good news, and nobody's heard it since. We just need to be patient for our blessings, because our blessings aren't going to look like Mary's. Our blessings don't look the same as even each other's blessings. Our blessings are individualized to who we are. When God speaks to us, it's always blessing. There might be headaches along that road. There might be heartaches before you get to the blessings. But when God speaks, He speaks blessing. Verse 29, she was greatly troubled at the saying, trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So you can see she was bothered by this. Well, who, me? What? Why are you talking to me like this? Why are you saying these words? But the angel calms her down, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I think if the angel came to me, especially Gabriel, I think he is like supposedly like the biggest, powerful, most powerful angel. I would need an angel to say, "Do not be afraid. Everything is okay." I would like for him to say, "You are favored. I'm not coming to cut your head off. You know, like you're good." So we want God to have favor. We want Him to find favor in us. But Gabriel goes on, and it brings us to the next point. And the next point is this. When God speaks, He always points to Jesus. When God speaks, He points to Jesus. Here's what Gabriel says. It's clear signs about what's going to happen and who her baby would be. It says this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. And He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." God will never speak to us and point us away from His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And I checked this out, all right, because I was like, I don't want to give you something that's not true. That would be horrible, right? I'd get judged for that later, by the way. So I look back over the course of the series, and every time there's an interruption here, God is pointing towards Jesus. Mary, who's He pointing towards? Jesus, obviously. We'll see it next week in Joseph. Joseph's learning, oh wait, your betrothed wife is pregnant. His name's going to be Jesus. The shepherds, the angels come to the shepherds, what are they saying? Go see who? Jesus. Zechariah now is a little bit different. Zechariah points to Zechariah's son, which would be John the Baptist, right? But it says John the Baptist is going to point towards who? Jesus, exactly. When God speaks, God always points us towards Jesus. But when we see Jesus, or when we hear from Jesus, who does Jesus point us to? God. Jesus points to the Father, and the Father points to the Son. And so if you're wrestling with a decision, if you're hearing a word from God, then ask yourself, is this word pointing me closer to Jesus? And if it isn't, then that's not from God. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Now remember, she's not married. She and Joseph haven't hooked up yet. It's humanly impossible for her to have a baby at this point. But remember last week's message, when God speaks, He'll push you towards faith, not away from it. Because where you lack, that's where God is strong. He will give you more than you can handle. Mary can't do this on her own. This is going to take a miracle from God. And still, she questions it. How will this be since I'm a virgin? This is 2 weeks in a row that the person receiving the message questions the message. Zechariah questioned it too. And so I'm curious, like, why does Zechariah go mute for 9 months or so, whereas Mary seems to get away with it? She's allowed to ask the question. Zechariah asks the question. He's like, you didn't have faith. Zip it. You're done. I think Zechariah questioned it for different reasons. He says, I'm too old. I can't do this. My wife's too old too. I don't really have a good answer for you. I do, like David Guzik has a decent answer, I think. He says that Zechariah asked with skepticism. Mary asked with wonder-filled faith. I think there's a difference there. I think Zechariah in his old age, he had some responsibility here to have faith. But instead, he asked with skepticism. He has age and wisdom. He was old and faithful, but Mary was young and innocent. She only knew what she knew. How is this even possible? I can't be pregnant. I haven't. Zechariah's like, I'm just too old for that. That can't happen. The angel, though, is patient with her, gives her a good explanation. The angel answered her. This is verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. And I want to pause right here and hold on to that thought. Nothing is impossible with God. And I really puzzle over this or trouble over, could this be another point that we could say in our series about, do you hear what I hear? Nothing is impossible. When God speaks, nothing is impossible with God. And I would say, yes, that is true, but. Actually, the phrase, if we were to translate the literal Greek, it would say something more like this, for no word of God shall be powerless. When God speaks, no word of God shall be powerless. God is, in fact, omnipotent, all-powerful. Therefore, nothing is impossible. However, let me be careful here. We can limit what God is doing in us through us closing the door, closing ourselves off from God, not allowing God to move within us. To be honest, this is a huge sticking point for various schools of thought and theology and in various church traditions. Not everyone would agree with what I just said. I'm just going to throw that out there. But while I believe that nothing is impossible with God, I also believe that God is all-powerful, can do anything that God wants to do. I believe that God does not force or steamroll anyone into doing anything that they do not want to do. I believe in choice. This means you, me, we have the choice to close ourselves off from God, thus limiting ourselves from the opportunity for God to show off God's power. Does that make sense? God, nothing's impossible with God. But I'm reluctant to say when God speaks, it will happen because nothing's impossible with God. Your response to God's voice can limit how God's power is experienced. Mary doesn't close herself off. Check out her response. Here's what she says. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. And I think about Mary, how she could have said this. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Or maybe she could have said it like this. I am the servant of the Lord. Okay, fine. You know, like, okay, I'll do whatever. Whatever. I guess you're going to do whatever you're going to do. I'll be here for it. No, I think she was more invested than that. She was more in tune to the Spirit. So, of course, she says she's going to go for it. She's going to be a part of God's plan. So, here's the 2 points we have so far. When God speaks, we will be blessed. And when God speaks, He's going to point us to Jesus. And then finally, this one. When God speaks, it will be confirmed by others. Now, this is part of the passage that that you've not heard today. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. She went to her aunt and uncle's house. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, she heard Mary come in. The baby leaped in her own womb, in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women." I'll come back to that. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Isn't that amazing? Here's what we know out of this story. No one told Elizabeth what was happening. Now, nobody sent a messenger ahead, "Hey, Elizabeth, Mary's coming and she's preggo." Nobody said that. She had no idea. She knew from the Holy Spirit. And what she did was confirm what the angel had told Mary. And to reiterate the first point of today, three times in Elizabeth's greeting, she said, "You are blessed. You are blessed," because when God speaks, you are blessed. I think this is probably the most important qualification of God speaking into your life. God will confirm what God is saying to you by sending other people that will say similar things. He's going to confirm it. Somebody will suddenly say what you've been thinking, like, "Maybe God's been saying this to me." They'll just say it to you without you even asking. Someone will confirm what God is saying to you when you run it by them. "Hey, I've been having this idea or this thought or whatever." And they'll say, "Yeah, I think that's amazing. Let's do that," or whatever. You'll read something in the Bible that hits you right between the eyes and exactly along the lines of what you've been hearing. Something you hear on the radio, or nobody listens to radio anymore, on your podcast or your streaming, whatever you're listening to, suddenly that just clicks right along with what God's been saying to you. The circumstances will line up perfectly that this is exactly the thing God's been preparing me to do all this time. Sometimes, believe it or not, sometimes even the preacher will say something that might just confirm what God's been saying to you. You know, we pray about these things. God will confirm His word, not conform to your opinion. This is where I get in trouble, all right? I think I get a lot of ideas coming from God. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. Here's what we're going to do. And then it turns out I don't end up doing any of those things, because those were all great opinions and ideas of mine. Nobody came along to confirm them, and they never happened anyway. When we started having this idea to launch Little Arrows Play Cafe, we didn't have a name for it. We didn't have a place for it or anything. We just had an idea. We thought maybe we could start a new church. It was like 5 years ago. About that time when we started having some conversations around that, I got real sick, and I was in ICU for like 2 weeks and had a couple of surgeries, and I was on the mend, but in the midst of all that, I felt like I heard God say these words: "You've got one life to live. What are you going to do with it? You got one. What are you going to do with this life for me?" And a few weeks later, one of the saints of the church, some of you came from Marne, you know him, Gary Mitchell, he took me out to lunch. And he was telling me, he's like, "It's really kind of interesting when people go through a horrible crisis in their life of any sort. Like, a lot of times they'll go on to do something kind of amazing, that God will just work through those experiences." And he just looked at me and he said, "Young man, you've got one life to live. What are you going to do with it?" What? What did you just say? I was like, holy crap. But to me, that was confirmation in what God had been saying to me. He had no idea what was going on in me or through me. He had no clue about those things. And yet God gave him a word to say that to me, to confirm for me what God was saying. Trying to paint a picture of how to know when God is speaking to you. We're putting little pieces of the puzzle together, and it's going to take us 2 more weeks, okay? So please be patient. But here's where we're at so far. Here's the pieces of the puzzle we have so far. When God speaks, it is an interruption. He's always going to interrupt your life and make it harder for you. 2, when God speaks, it pushes you towards faith in Him, not away from it. When God speaks, you are or will be blessed. That should be a comfort, by the way. When God speaks, it will always point you to Jesus. And along with that, I would say, and nothing's impossible with God unless you close your heart to it. And then this last one, when God speaks, it is confirmed by others. Join us next week. We're going to look into the story of Joseph and how God interrupted his life and how his compassion for Mary took hold of him and gripped him so that he could be the husband Mary needed and the father Jesus needed. And I'll give you a little hint. There's an angel involved in that story too. Let us pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you for interrupting our lives at various points and various times, that you wouldn't leave us where we are, that we could pine for what could be and not just be complacent in where we are. Thank you for painting a picture for us of how life could possibly be with you. Help us to strive for it and attain it and be blessed along the way. God, we're in this season of preparing our hearts and our minds for Christmas, and there's so many other things we got to do too. It seems like our spiritual side will just take a break while we get physically ready for all the things. But in the midst of the things, may you interrupt our lives continually to remind us of where we are, who we are, and whose we are. God, be with us as we leave here today. We're going to encounter the world. May we remember all those things. May we remember that we are your children and you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this week.